The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him because they feared the crowds, because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. So I have to warn you that today's and next Sunday's gospel readings really in general, are pretty harsh, rough. But we can trust because we know that in the end, Christ's message always has mercy and good news. So perhaps even this grim parable has something to say to us. Finally, he sent his son. It's a last resort, and culminates in a rebellion in the vineyard, or should I say the Garden of Eden. See, the tenants are up to no good. This remarkable Garden of Delights is equipped with everything needed to make humanity happy: abundance, work, boundaries, community. But it did not belong to them. And at harvest time, when the tenants are reminded of that unavoidable fact, they don't like it very much. They cannot do whatever they want without consequences. And so at the very least, they want to blame somebody. Does this sound familiar? Because the remarkable vineyard that we call the earth doesn't belong to us. But there's not a day that goes by that we as human beings do not claim it in big or little ways, that the garden is mine or ours. I've earned this money, and I deserve to spend it exactly how I want. It's my life, and I can do what I want. Who's going to know? Then comes the son, and the tenants know that it's the heir, I suppose because he looks just like his father. Martin Luther, 500 years ago, calls the son the mirror of the father's heart. We know it's God's heir, too, who reveals all of our inmost workings through parables like this one. And of course, the son ultimately threatens human independence. So humans get rid of him, bury him under the weight of, our skepticism. If I can't buy a certain part of the faith, I'm not going to buy any of it. Or we bury him by our piety or our religious rules, wrestling the faith from God, whether by liberal Christianity's insistence on social action or conservative Christianity's selective biblical rules. You see how this story is about humanity, not necessarily one tribe? What's the owner to do now that we've done the unthinkable, buried the owner's son, which is a crime that completely breaks any vestige of trust, and it knows only one punishment, being cut off, death. So that's the first thing that God does. God puts to death the sinner in us, that selfish part of us that doesn't care about anybody else, that part of us that pretends that we don't have to answer to anybody else. God takes this sinner in us to the baptismal font and drowns it by proclaiming that in Christ, God chooses us. No matter who or what we choose, God chooses us. We are his child. So this grim parable remains for Christians. Christ, the stone that the builders rejected, breaks us to pieces and kills us, kills the sinner in us, which doesn't only happen at baptism. The sinner in us is killed whenever we hear the truth of God's word, such as today. We are tenants, stewards. We're not heirs. Everything in this world, including our lives and the earth and our neighbors, belong to God, not us. But then the parable goes in an interesting way. The owner of the vineyard does something remarkable. He leases the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time. When Jesus says here, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, he's really talking about you and me in this room and all humans of every time and place who think that it's all about them. But then who gets the garden? See, now we've reached the heart of the story. The vineyard does not, cannot belong to you. It belongs to God. You, me, I cannot get it. Instead, it's leased to the tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time, to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. So what's this harvest and the fruits of the kingdom? Faith. Trust. Like a little child trusting a good parent. See, it's believers who produce the fruit. Ones who trust God alone and not themselves. And by that, I don't mean those who call themselves Christian as opposed to those who call themselves by a different religion. Because God sees beyond our claims and our names and our institutions. God sees right into our hearts. You and I cannot do anything to get the vineyard or to get into the kingdom of God. See, and wanting control of getting it again reveals the truth of the human condition. Just as life on earth was given to you as a gift without your doing anything, God's kingdom is given also as a gift. And this reveals the truth about our merciful and gracious God and why we can trust the God of Christ. God's kingdom is given. We experience it by faith, through believing. The believer that God raised up at your baptism, when you were forever marked with the cross of Christ, is experiencing the kingdom of God. And this one doesn't only get raised at baptism, but gets raised up again whenever we hear the truth about ourselves and the truth about our gracious God. These saints raised up in us, these trusting in God ones, don't need rules, don't need biblical rules or any other rules, don't need to be told to advocate for their neighbors or the earthly vineyard. They naturally do it. These good works naturally flow out of the one who trusts in God without our even trying or noticing. Lutherans use the phrase saints and sinners to talk about the reality of being Christian. See, and we'll have both saint and sinner with us, in us, until the day that we die. And the sinner in us needs rules in the world so that we tend to God and our neighbor and creation. And the sinner in us needs to see the truth about ourselves and how turned in we are, and to be killed by it, crushed by the cornerstone, so that we might be driven into the arms of a gracious creator. Finally, he sent his son. In the midst of national and world turmoil and personal crises, in Christ, God continues to give us an eternal identity that nothing and nobody, not even death, can take away from us. Amen.